And welcome to another episode of The Rule of Three. Two comics, three topics, 10 minutes each. The perfect podcast for your modern lifestyle. I'm Brian Miller. On the other side of the coin? I'll say coin. No, we've got Tim Slagle. I don't know why I went with coin.
the other side of the Bitcoin.
Yeah, fair enough. That's more accurate. Today we're going to be talking about some upcoming shows at Acme. And Blade Runner, the new Blade Runner, which, by the way, if you went to Blade Runner's opening show, you probably just got out of it about now. It's long. my tweet about it was Blade Runner 2049. Didn't realize the title was about the running time. But we're going to get into some news. It's funny. We had a difficult time picking a news topic this week because the news is – it's like the most depressing news week. I think.
Oh my gosh! I could not. Some of the stories I couldn't even believe. I won't even say them. They were so.
Yeah.
They were so awful.
They're bummers. Just the same.
Just tragedy and.
Like the Weinstein and the NFL stories are basically. We were saying you could basically take last week's news and flip it with this week's news, and you go, there's the news.
Yeah, we could have actually recorded two shows last week and then taken this week off.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We just had to like change the number of accusers and kneelers. You know, like the old SNL. Remember the old SNL sketch where Tom Brokaw was having to go on vacation, so he was going to do every eventuality just in case. You know, it was President Ford ravaged by wolves. They're just recording all this B-roll together. That's very funny. But we could have just changed the numbers and. Done that, but
yeah,
so we found it.
We could have called the segment "Kneelers and Women Who Didn't Want to."
Oof! I don't know that I would have called it that, but oof! But at long last, we did track down a kind of interesting story that's not about super young or super old people perishing in super tragic ways. Although there was a cool story about how apparently alligators are getting more. Acclimated to salt water, and they're seeing alligators and sharks fight, which is pretty cool.
Wow, but, that is cool.
Yeah. which is the sort of video you might watch on your iPhone. except apparently, and it's funny, I feel like I noticed this kind of anecdotally. I guess the iPhone 8 sales are pretty flat. And the reason I say anecdotally is the movie theater that I go to most frequently is in a mall. Near my house, and there is an Apple store between the entrance to the movie theater and the coffee place. So sometimes I pop over for a coffee before or after. I walk past the Apple store, and everybody in there looked really bummed out. I know it sounds weird, but you know it's all it's all glassy, and everybody's supposed to be young and excited. And there's usually like there's supposed to be like a line, and everything else in the mall was busy, and it was just like a zillion guys in blue shirts looking droopy, and like two people looking at iPads.
Wow. There's something very Logan's Run-y about the Apple stores.
Yeah, there is. It is kind of a Logan's Run aesthetic, which is great when you're younger.
I guess when you turn 35 as an Apple employee too, I guess.
Oh, yeah, they don't have any of those.
You have to exactly. You have to. You get your light on your wrist starts flashing.
Absolutely, it does. Yeah, there's no old guys in the Apple store. But yeah, it didn't. It looked
there
a little
should
dim.
Be though. There actually should be. It's because somebody doesn't want because the grandparents don't like to admit to the grandkids that they don't know have a clue that they're completely lost. Even though they're completely lost, they don't like to admit they're completely lost. They would love to have someone. Their own age, where they can say, "How did you figure out this crap?"
Yeah, it's kind of like if you have hemorrhoid problems, you don't want to go to like the smoking hot young 27-year-old doctor, you know, and you're like, tell her about your butthole or whatever. I had to go to a urologist for a fairly minor problem, but I intentionally picked an old guy out because I was like, I can talk to an old guy about this. Who cares? He'll know. He'll understand.
That's a good point. Also, there's less chance of embarrassment when you during the exam.
Yeah, I've never worried about that. Although my GP is very, very, very just not just attractive, just so together. She's so together and so like elegant. I just feel bad about my like pathetic, broken down body. She's like older than me, and she's like a marathon runner. And I'm just like, I'm sorry. Look what I've done with this. This is a tragedy. And you look so well put together and confident, and your posture's so good. And I'm just a bum. So it was usually a my dentist is also a lady, but when I went to the urologist, I went with a super old guy. And, sure. Yeah, you want the Apple Store? That's right. They should have, like, a designated – at least one designated older employee. I bet there'd be a long line for that guy.
Yeah. Absolutely. And it would also increase their market share.
Yeah. That's a good call. So now do you – according to the Newsweek article, the reason that the iPhone sales are flat is that they just didn't – I guess the thing I read said they didn't really add enough value to it was the gist of it.
You see, here's the thing. Here's the thing, too, though, and what I've learned. I'm a longtime Apple guy. Mm. It was my first computer, and there was a couple times, like System 10, when System 10 came out, I thought maybe I should change from Apple and I should go over to PC, and that was probably the best opportunity. And I'm not sure why, but all my files have always been Apple, so I never wanted the hassle of converting the files. So
sure,
I've stuck with Apple. And it's a love-hate relationship because GM pioneered something in the 70s called planned obsolescence. What they did was they said, we will update the cars so fast and change the design so quickly that if you have a car more than 3 years old, it's going to look ancient. And that was kind of... Besides, they would break down and they would rust in that period, too.
Right. I mean, at the time, GM wasn't exactly knocking it out of the park quality-wise.
No, but I mean, they didn't even care. I think they purposely used steel that would rust because to make sure that you didn't have a car in 3 years. And it was called planned obsolescence, and GM was looked down upon for that. Well, Apple kind of has done the same thing. Is that every upgrade that you get with Apple takes a little bit more computer space to run or a little bit more phone space to run. So that if you continually upgrade your system software, eventually your phone or computer is not going to work anymore.
Mm-hmm.
People, when I was saying this, everyone was saying, oh, you got to upgrade. Oh, you got to upgrade. So, no, you got to stop upgrading. I've got computers that I haven't upgraded that still work, that I can still use. You are letting Apple turn your computer into a brick, or turn your phone into a brick. And now you don't have a choice. They actually do it automatically.
Yeah, because I used to not update either. And now I wake up and it's like, hey, we did something fun for you while you were sleeping. Oh, that's creepy.
Yeah, we made your computer less efficient. But people thought I was just conspiracy talk when I was saying this. But they've actually proved it now. They looked at Google records and they found that iPhone not working searches increase exponentially right before the release of a new phone. and it has occurred ever as long as the iPhone has been in existence. You can Google it. There's a chart that actually shows you how the complaints rise. It's truly exponential. So they actually essentially turn off your phones before they don't turn them off, but they make it really difficult to run. And I think what happened, my opinion, is that people looked at the iPhone 8 and said, I don't want that. So they actually bought a 7 so that they will be able to keep it as long as possible.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Before, because they know that if you've got a 5, that's going to be – I think people have finally – clicked on to how Apple operates its business. And it's probably – it worked for GM, I guess. I don't know if it's going to work now that people realize that Apple is purposely slowing down your equipment. And I think Apple right now is – if you're a fan of Silicon Valley, I think Apple right now is like – post-nucleus Hooli.
That's a nice one. Yeah,
and only people who watch the show are going to get that. But that's right where it is that they don't have anything new. They're out of ideas. All the creative people have split for other places. It's there's no when Steve Jobs was there, working for Steve Jobs was an honor, and people the most brilliant people from the tech industry wanted to work for Steve Jobs. With Steve Jobs gone, so are they. And there's no driving input. There's nothing exciting happening. It's the iPhone 8 is essentially the iPhone 7 with self-charging.
Huh.
And the iPhone 10, if you looked at it, it's already people are it's not even out yet, and people are saying it's probably the worst design ever.
Speaking of faulty design, by design of the segment, we got to get out.
In the final segment, I'm going to be talking about what I'm doing next week. But in this segment is, well, I'll talk about what I did last week. And I went out and saw Blade Runner. I was a big fan of the original Blade Runner. I actually saw it when it was in theaters in the first run. I saw it when it was in theaters as a cult movie. I think it was the first Blu-ray disc I bought. I am just a huge Blade Runner fan.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Are you otherwise a particular fan of either Ridley Scott or Philip K. Dick?
Interestingly, there was a couple science fiction films that I really enjoyed, and I said, "Oh, I want to watch more science fiction films like that." And Blade Runner was one of them, and another one was Total Recall, and so I started looking on two of those. What do they have in common? Oh my gosh, they're both Philip K. Dick stories.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, "Ah, I got to look into Philip K. Dick."
Oh, and you like Man in the High Castle?
I actually read Man in the High Castle before Man in the High Castle came out.
Ah,
as a matter of fact, I started enjoying Philip K. Dick, and strangely, I was a I can't even remember his name now. It was the guy that invented the term William Gibson.
Oh yeah, cyberpunk.
I was a big William Gibson fan.
Sure.
And when I started reading Philip K. Dick, well, that's when William Gibson started appearing like a thief to me. I had no idea how much he owed to Philip K. Dick.
A lot of people do.
Yeah. I'm a huge Philip K. Dick fan now. And I've seen everything that he actually, I heard, I think it was Jackie Cation that told this to me, that Philip K. Dick, when he knew he was dying, He was adamant about securing the movie rights before he died, because he was sure. And when he was dying, I think was just when Blade Runner was being made, and he realized at that point that he was so far ahead of the curve that that's the reason why he was dying in poverty. That he wanted to make sure that all his movie rights were secured before he passed on, because he knew in the future that the movie rights would be that people would want his movie rights.
Yeah, and there's been a lot of movies based on Philip K. Dick stories. You know, some of them, you know, fairly forgotten, you know, because they're not a good paycheck. There's a really bad Ben Affleck sci-fi movie. It's no fault of old Phil's there, you know. It's just a bad movie. But you kind of forget how much has been made of his work.
Yeah, and how much is based on it. Mm-hmm. Blade Runner... the original Blade Runner, I think, was probably the first space noir film that was ever made.
Yeah.
And I think it pioneered the genre of space noir.
Yep.
It just an incredible film. Blade Runner 2049, meh. It was, you know, it's great. It's kind of it's kind of like a superhero film in the fact that Blade Runner kind of set the world. It created this world, and Blade Runner 2049 is just another story in that world. That and it was good to see it again. It was good to see it cleaned up. A lot of people don't realize that the original Blade Runner was done in a time before there was computer graphics. So as far as an achievement of a film, to actually do a film that looked that incredible without being able to use a computer, just by doing film overlaid on film,
yeah,
is remarkable.
Yeah, and I think in a lot of ways, the original's still cooler looking. Even for its flaws. I mean, I thought 2049, which I did enjoy, I think I liked a little bit more than you, but not a whole lot. I liked it. I can tell it. That you did like it, but I feel similar to you. I think maybe I'm slightly more enthusiastic, but like, it's undeniably like a good film. There's no like, in no world would I say it's not good, but it didn't give me. It just didn't give me much to be excited about, even though there was a ton to admire.
2049, yeah. We're talking about now?
Yeah. Whereas the original has like...
It was a good film. Blade Runner was a great film.
Yes. It has like some... You know, the part they left out was the pulpy fun. I mean, yep, it's slow and good looking and meticulous and thoughtful and all these things, but there's you know, the replicants running through the streets and him chasing him and shooting him and they're crashing through the windows, and there's moments of that were like that in other hands would have been great B movie fun, and they turned it into like high class fun, but it was still fun. And I don't think there was almost anything about Blade Runner 2049 that I would really call fun.
It wasn't his apartment was too clean.
Yeah.
You know what the heck, you know, when Decker came home, he lived in a dump and he picked up a dirty glass and he poured some whiskey in it. And that's you know, that was great. Coming home to the am I giving away spoilers now?
I don't think so yet.
I might. I might be. Let's just say his apartment and his life was too nice, and it was in you know, going off on the technology, his technological assistant, sort of.
Mm-hmm.
I guess to me that was stupid. It's like you know. Decker would have bought a replicant instead. Why the hell would you could buy a replicant so damn cheap? Would you actually pay for that kind of tech?
Well, I think because it's pretty early. This is not a spoiler. It's identified very early on that Gosling is a replicant, the main character. I think because for a replicant, the next layer of unreality is the hologram. I think that movie wanted to kind of push the idea of like, what exactly defines real? Because in a world where there's a potential sort of holographic person, what does that then say? Like, doesn't that then make him feel much closer to real than fake? Whereas before,
yeah, maybe.
No, I agree with that. I think it works really well on a conceptual level, but like as a storytelling thing, I'm not super into it. I think that movie is just very like, it's a very chilly movie. If that, you know. Despite the fact that it's literally kind of bright and warm looking for the most part, but it's just a very cerebral, it's great looking, but there was some times where it was so very impressively, meticulously art directed that I was just like, well, why don't we just dispense with the story altogether and you can just show me cool reflections of water on a golden room, you know?
Uh-huh.
Like it's kind of like if you went to a restaurant. And it's this beautiful restaurant, and every server that comes by brings you more and more beautiful silverware and glasses, and they're filling goblets up of water from crystal pitchers and all this. And at some point, you're like, man, I just want a steak. I'm like, let's stop focusing on all this other stuff, and let's make me a really good steak. Which is not to say that I think they made a bad steak.
So what happened to Sean Young? I can't remember. Did she die, or did she just go crazy? It was one or the other.
In real life or in the movie?
In real life.
Oh, she went a little cuckoo. I had lunch with her about 10 years ago, maybe.
Huh?
Yeah, she was great. Actually, gosh, you know, I forget how old I am. I had lunch with Sean Young about 15, going on 20 years ago. Yeah, she basically had like a real diva period and just got super demanding and hard to deal with and kind of got...
Wouldn't sleep with Harvey.
Well, yeah, maybe. But when I – she kind of turned it around and then – because when I met her, she was working on – you know, she'd been kind of humbled and was working on a sort of indie movie or whatever. But she was really nice. She was a really, really sweet lady. Pretty chill, basically. I really liked her.
I wonder why they kind of used her like they did.
Yeah, I noticed that myself, because her character was obviously pretty important.
Yeah, and it seemed forced.
Yeah, it did a little
it's
bit.
It's the way they put her, into the plot as deceased and clips from the old movie, and then did the computer generation.
Yeah, which was obvious to me still, like when in Star Wars with Peter Cushing, you're just like, oh, that's not them.
Well, yeah. Well, what was obvious was that it was a her graphic was not HD.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, you're right.
It was you could see that it was done on film in a film that was done on a video that was videotaped.
Yeah, you're right. That's totally it.
I mean, it really stood out.
Speaking of the limits of technology. We got to get out of the segment cuz it's about that time.
And on the final segment of the Rule of Three, it is hopefully I get this one up and posted. I got the other one edited and posted on the same day.
Yeah, it was fast.
Did you notice that?
I did notice that.
That was the first time I think I've ever done that.
Quick draw.
Yeah, it's kind of, I thought that that the Columbus Day excitement wouldn't last beyond the day.
All the fervor.
Right. I wanted to get it out there before everyone started taking the decorations down.
Right. You know how depressing a Christmas tree looks on January 9th. You know, you don't have the same.
And this one I might delay a little bit because next week we won't record one until Wednesday. And why are we going to record one on Wednesday? Well, because I'm coming to Minnesota next week. It is my Acme week. I have I usually do two Acme weeks a year. One, of course, is the Crash and Burn series, where I invite other comics to join me in trying to write a new 20 minutes.
You can't reveal the lineup, but do you have a preliminary lineup for next Crash and Burn yet?
I'm pretty sure I do.
I'll be interested to see what that is.
I am pretty sure I do. It's they don't know. They don't know. It's Lewis and I have talked about it. It's the ones we're kind of settle on. Don't know that they've been tapped yet. So we have at least two and an alternate. So there you go. But then of course then there's the other week I get to do every year is just me headlining Acme Comedy Company, Tuesday, October 24th through Saturday, October 28th. Make your tickets, make your reservations now.
Seven shows,
Seven shows, seven big shows, and I'm going to be handing out candy.
I like that idea a lot.
That's the way I figured it is that in order to get people to like my page on Facebook,
mm-hmm.
I haven't been able to find a way of advertising that, of paying less than 10 cents a like. And sometimes it's kind of expensive. They want the money if you want to get new people to like your page. So I figured I could either give the money to Zuckerberg,
or I could
buy candy for my fans.
I like that idea a lot better. Yeah, that's great. Take that, Zuckerberg.
So I will be outside the shows with a QR code, and you can just zoom on it with your camera, with your phone right there, and tap on it and like me. And if you like me, I'll give you candy.
How can you not like someone who gives you candy? And your opener, by the way, is Pat Sussmilch, who's a very, very funny guy.
Yeah. Yeah, probably too funny.
He's very, very good.
Yeah, I know. It's I've noticed that occasionally they'll do the Acme will do that to me, that they'll put on someone really strong in the middle to make me work.
It's good. And, keeps you hustling.
Yeah. Yeah, it's but you know, I'm worried that I'm going to come to that. And usually the week after they open for Slagle, that's when they get to start headlining.
That's the that's like the minor league transition.
Yeah. Yeah. Once Slagle can't follow you, it's headline for you. So it might be that. So I encourage fans of the show, fans of Slagle, come on out to Acme. It's I believe it's the 26th year that Acme has been in operation.
And also it would be the 26th year that you've worked at Acme, correct?
I believe I was there the first year. Not more than a year. So this will be probably, because I've been coming twice a year for ever since, so this will probably be my 52nd.
Wow.
This will be my full year of weeks.
Yeah, I was going to say, you basically will have been a resident of Minneapolis for 1 year.
Yeah. Well, actually, it's longer. I think I hit a year several ago, because I've come in to do, like, other various sets.
Yeah, right.
Tapings and showcases and corporate events, and so I've been a resident of Minneapolis for over a year. Never a legal resident. Never had my license changed.
Does it feel a little second homey to you, Minneapolis?
Oh gosh, yeah. And what's really weird to me is when you're there so regularly and for so long, is you tend to forget that people have lives in between your weeks there.
No, I know what you mean. It's like a little basic selfishness built into all of our own brains, right? Well, I'm here. Things are starting again.
Yeah. There was an employee that was there, and he had a going away party, and a few years later, we were talking about him, and somebody said, "Yeah, he's been gone 5 years now." It's like, no, it's only been a couple weeks. Oh yeah, for me.
Yeah.
It was the weirdest thing. It was the first point that I realized that my Minneapolis clock starts and stops when I'm there, and I forget that it runs when I'm not.
Yeah, it's like just often enough to be regular that feels like you're always there. You know, if you were only there once every 2 years, it probably wouldn't have that same weird rhythm to it, you know.
Yeah, no, I know where to put my stuff in the hotel room. I know where to, you know, I know how long it takes to walk across the street to the club. I know my favorite. It's going to be different now, though. It's Acme now closes earlier.
It does close a little earlier.
It closes at 11 rather than 1, which is, that's going to be hard to get used to.
Yeah, I've been being a little less of a night owl, so it hasn't. It's dovetailed nicely with my curtailed evening experiences.
Huh, it's been good for Minneapolis comics. It does not encourage people to stay up till all hours in engaging in forms of debauchery.
Yeah, yeah, and, I was a little less opportunity for trouble. Yeah, that'll be a big week in that. And because was it 26 years ago or 20? Was it last year that we were doing the anniversary party?
Last year was the big 25.
Yeah. That was a year ago today, huh? Or this week? Next week?
Today?
I guess.
This week? Right around here. Huh. I'm not absolute. No, it was a little bit later because there was the 25th anniversary, and then I had a day off, and then was election.
Oh, that's right. It was right before the election. God, that seems like forever ago, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That seems like a million years ago.
Yes and no.
Yeah, I mean, I can remember, yeah, but like Emily.
For me, it's 2 weeks.
Yeah, for me, it feels like that literally feels like a million years ago. Me wearing the Funnier Than Nate Abshire shirt and Emily and I getting that Uber back late in the evening. God, that feels like a million years ago.
No, that was. I think we talked about it. You can probably go back. I was going to start reminiscing about things that happened at the party, but I think we already did that. And you've got. Have we mentioned this? Is that shirt, that funnier than Nate, still funnier than Nate Abshire? Is that right?
Yes, the second shirt was still funnier than Nate Abshire.
Yeah, and that was brought out at the anniversary show.
It was made for the anniversary show.
That inspired. Can we talk about this?
Oh yeah, for sure.
It's you're going to be coming in New Year's Eve.
Yeah, the whole week, December 26th to the 31st, and 9 shows because New Year's Eve is on a Sunday, so we're doing 2 on Sunday. 9 big shows for New Year's week, and Lewis and I were I shot my mouth off a little bit at dinner at Crash and Burn, making fun of Nate, and I might have suggested to Lewis that he could have Nate open for me whenever he felt that would be fun, and then Lewis reminded me that I could also open for Nate if he so chose, which is that's true, sir. You'd absolutely like I wouldn't say no. But my smack talk gave him a little bit of an idea, and so that's when he came up with doing New Year's as the show we're going to be called Funnier Than Nate Abshire featuring Brian Miller, which will be fun. I finally realized why Nate likes that name. It's because the word feature and my name appears, so it kind of implies that I might be featuring for him.
No, absolutely, all intentional. And what's interesting is they're gonna let the audience decide who's funnier.
Yes.
Am I giving too much away?
I don't know exactly what the scoring system is going to be, but no, every night there's going to be some sort of scoring system because there's 9 shows. So they'll total up some, however Lewis decides to score.
Oh, I already figured it. I know the scoring system because it was my idea.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not going to tell. I'm not going to tell. If you don't know, that means it's going to be a surprise. You're not supposed to know.
Right.
I know how it's going to be scored. And I also know because you have developed such loathe and hatred on K-Talk.
Lewis thinks that some of my people who don't enjoy my appearances on the morning radio segment, we're going to come out to root for Nate.
And we will see that, but that's New Year's. That's a couple months away. Come on out next week. Come and see Slagle. I've got candy. I've got new stuff. I've got. It's going to be a fun week.
Get some Crash and Burn material that you've kind of shaped up and gotten.
Got some Crash and. I was actually thinking of going through all the Crash and Burn stuff, and I was thinking of actually doing an entire show of nothing but Crash and Burn material.
Oh, that's fun.
And it's. And I tend to agree with Lewis because I was talking. Somebody said, how much time do you think you have? Because I've done now 6 Crash and Burns. I should have 2 hours of material.
Sure.
Just like the day after St. Patrick's Day, I should still have at least $20 in my pocket. But for some reason, I never do. And somebody said, how much time do you think you got? I go, I probably got 1.5 hours. And Lewis goes, 20 minutes. And I started going over it, and I said, yeah, I think Lewis is right. Lewis is always right.
Well, the other thing is that some of that stuff is topical, and so some of the stuff that might have even worked 6 years ago, it's like, you know, right. You're telling jokes about, so Joe Biden's the vice president. And you're like, what?
So, yeah, there will be Crash and Burn stuff, stuff that I did in April. I think I got one bit. I think it's there. It's my favorite bit from last year. I got that. Got other stuff and candy, and I think we're. I forgot what time we started this one, but I think it's 10 minutes.
Yeah. And you should definitely come out. And I'm sure I'll be at least one of the shows hanging out, so you can spot me at the bar and roundabouts. And come out and see us. And look for all the episodes here on iTunes. Leave us a review. That'd be cool. Leave a review. And drop us a line on my website, brianmillercomedy.com, or at Twitter, at RealBrianMiller.
At Tim Slagle on Facebook and Twitter, and timslagle.com. That's my website. That's where all the details will be posted. And other than that, we'll see you in Minneapolis.
Yes, we'll see you live on the next show.